In the name of the creating God, redeeming Jesus and sustaining spirit. Amen. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved, listen to him. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, had quite a spectacular experience that day on Mount Tabor. Some 2,000 feet above sea level, overlooking the panoramic vista of Lebanon on the north and west, Syria, Jordan, Mount Hermon to the east. Mount Tabor is a place where you are glad to linger. It is heavenly. But this was only a setting, kind of like the magnificent frame of Da Vinci's painting Mona Lisa hanging on the wall of Louvre. The unusual episode of the transfiguration of Jesus, which the disciples experienced on the mountaintop, is best depicted in the earliest Eastern Orthodox icon. At the bottom of the icon are Peter, James, and John, all appearing to have been hurled down from a height. The central figure of this group, Peter, is pictured covering his face with his hands for protection, as if the blinding brilliance of what he saw was too much for his eyes. John also has his hands on his head, as if suffering a shock, the involuntary response to a bewildering revelation. His brother James appears to have been flattened, literally knocked off his feet by what he sees happening to Jesus further up the mountain. As opposed to the Western art, which has the vanishing point in the distance drawing us forward, the Eastern Orthodox icon has the strange quality of spiritual forces looking out through the icon, focusing on us, the observers. We, the observer, become the center of attention in the spiritual connection. It is as though God is gazing at us through the drama of the action of the icon, drawing us into the scene, making us a point of the encounter. Yes, God is gazing us this morning. He is gazing at us this morning. Is our response to the mountaintop experience similar as that of Peter, John, and James? Rabbi, it is good to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For Peter, John, and James, it was the burning but not consuming bush moment. The experience was so powerful to the point that they felt they had to come up with a response. They liked what they experienced, terrifying and frightening though it was. They wanted to freeze that moment for posterity. How could we blame them? Isn't that what we do? A Kodak moment, kind of. If you have that, a camera or a cell phone today, that is what we would do. Take a picture of that and freeze the moment, and they take it forever. Even though I don't know, with that bright sunshine light, blazing, light, how the camera would work. But in any case, we would try to attempt to freeze the moment. They were overtaken by the power of the present moment, the present experience, to the point that they shut themselves to God's future of greater glory. on this annual meeting day, as we look back this past year, we may feel satisfied with God, what God has been able to achieve in this place with us at St. Peter's. And we think it is wonderful and great. Yes, they are. And we may respond like the disciples, patting our back. Things are good with us here, so let us just stay here. We get on that maintenance mode with some quick fixes here and there, pop up some tents, some provincial vision statements, or nearsighted adaptations. We may be satisfied with the status quo, but he is God who knows our potential to be greater than we allow ourselves to be. Is God satisfied with us? The same God who spoke from the cloud to the disciples is speaking to us today. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Basically, what God is saying to us is this: yes, it has been wonderful, but you haven't seen anything yet. Just wait for the coming glory. There is more to it. And don't just stay here. Are we listening to Jesus? Igor Stravinsky said, to listen is an effort. Just to hear is no merit. A duck hears too. If this is true of music, how much more does it bear on Jesus' commands? It is one thing to admire Jesus. To obey him is something else. It is one thing to worship Jesus. To follow him is something else. On this annual meeting day, we heard the reports of what we have been able to accomplish with God's help. We also heard Mark Hamaker talking about our plans and our hopes to improve our infrastructure so that we can serve our church and our community better. Looking forward, looking ahead into the future, we must ask ourselves whether we are satisfied with the status quo, whether we are satisfied with being in a maintenance mode. If this transfiguration is to mean anything for us, for our lives, it simply has to be that which intrudes on our present, changes our present, and contends that we imagine our future in a different kind of way. How do we embrace God's future for us? God is going ahead of us, calling us forward, always calling us forward. God is telling us to quit playing in the shallow waters and move into ever deeper waters. He is calling us to become more mature in our faith, develop deeper spirituality and a closer relationship with God. As a church, God is beckoning us to be a transfigured body of believers, and together we, St. Peter's, become an agent of transformation in this community and in this world. I see that embracing God's future for us means that we become more courageous in witnessing to God's love in our community and in the world. Rather than just serving ourselves, what if we become more and more ascending and serving church? What if we become more and more a church that is embracing the otherness and serving the other? It means that we have to reach beyond our comfort zones and challenge ourselves, questioning our prejudices and our predispositions. What if we, as a church, engage in waging peace and unity in our community that is so deeply divided on many issues and on many levels? What if our people become involved in the many social service organizations that are working in our community to improve the quality of life for all people in our community? We are a transfigured and transformed community. Let loose by the Spirit of God to be agents of transformation, both within and without the church. We must recognize and accept our inadequacy to do the work of God in our strength and by our own cleverness and power. We must also yield ourselves wholly to God, looking for God's greater strength to do in us what we cannot do ourselves. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to Him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.